All right, please stand. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom as we look at a few comments from this gentleman. We pray, Father, that as a child of God, we might learn from him as we are children of God. We beg for your direction and assistance. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. You may be seated. I've just finished a rather lengthy book written by C.H. Spurgeon. It has about 50 chapters in it, and half of those chapters are single long prayers. I don't know if they were written for the book. I don't know if they were Spurgeon's private prayers, or if they were public prayers that some stenographer jotted down and then they were included in this book. I don't know. But I have another little book here called The Pastor in Prayer. This is, again, by C.H. Spurgeon. And it contains 24 morning, prayers in the public church service on Sunday morning at Metropolitan Tabernacle. And every one of these prayers, or at least the first five or six of them, I didn't look at all of them once again, the first five or six of them are 6 pages long in relatively small type. They go for 10 or 15 minutes in the public church service on Sunday morning. I have to admit that I do not enjoy reading them, because I am under such conviction when I do it for a number of different reasons. Like the prayers of Spurgeon, these three verses that we have just read appear to be a prayer from this man, Agur, that was introduced to us last week. This isn't from the heart of Solomon, because at least one of these circumstances really does not apply to a king who has just about anything he wants. This is to others. Why is it recorded here? Well, we might say that Solomon appreciated the value of this prayer and what it might teach his children and his subjects. Or we might say the Holy Spirit did the same thing, said there's a blessing here for all of us. We have to remember that the Holy Spirit is the regulator of our prayers. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What can we learn about prayer by considering Agur's prayer? What can we learn about life as we consider these words here? Well, going back to Sunday evening, the first thing we learn here is to pray as if we are dying. Two things have I required of thee, Lord. Deny me not them before I die. Before we get to that, don't be distracted by the verb required of thee. We should not think that we have any right to demand anything from God, because we don't. Amen. None whatsoever. If we don't approach the Lord as beggars, then at the very least as children in need of a blessing from the Father. We have no right to demand in either case. The Hebrew word translated required in this verse is fairly common in the Old Testament. It is translated ask more frequently than any other way, 94 times. In other words, two things do I ask of thee. Deny me not them before I die. The next most frequent translation is inquire, 22 times. It is rendered desire, borrow, request, and beg more often than it is require. In other words, in the original Hebrew, there's a great deal more respect in this prayer than is translated into our King James Bible. Two things do I request. Lord, two things I beg of you. Deny me not them before I die. It might be thought that Edgar must have been dying, but there's really no reason for us to make that assumption. I believe he was saying, Lord, between now and the time that I leave this world, please grant these requests. Each and every day that I live until the day I die, grant these requests. As I tried to teach last Sunday, there are benefits in looking at life as if we are dying. And the truth is, we are.
Yes.
Our bodies are constantly fighting off disease. And I don't know, once we reach 25 or so, it's basically downhill from there. We may retain our strength for quite some time, but we're falling apart.
Yes.
It's a struggle. We are in the process of dying. And certainly, without any question, we are 3 days closer to our death today than we were last Sunday night when I said the same thing. We are getting closer to that departure time. And if we knew that our life was going to end tomorrow at 20 minutes after 5, we might live the next 20 hours differently than under the assumption I've got another 50 years in this world. If we knew for sure that we only had 24 hours or 20 hours or 18 hours, we would spend that time more profitably than we would knowing that we're going to live forever. If we knew that we will be dead by tomorrow night, we'd make sure that we took care of the really important things. Lord, I am dying. Here are two requests. If you were dying and the Lord gave you a promise somehow that he would grant two requests for you, what would those requests be? Have to think about that. The truth is, we don't know the time of our death. So why not live as though we are soon to leave this world? Edgar prayed, I don't know how long I have. Lord, I know that I will not be in this world forever, so please grant to me these basic blessings. Two things do I ask of thee. Deny me not them before I die. Just two things. Sometimes in our prayers, we need to cast aside all of the tiny specifics that we pray about. So every once in a while. I know we pray about details, and that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we just need to throw them aside and bear down on the large basics. What are those large basics? They may be different for each of us. I don't mean that we should generalize. Like, Lord, bless the missionaries and save the lost. That's a waste of breath right there. I mean, once in a while, it's good to look for specific elemental needs and beseech the Lord to grant those needs. For example, Lord, protect me from sin. I don't know if that's at the top of your list, but that was at the top of this man's. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Some of the commentators suggest that Edgar was asking God to forgive him for his vanities and lies. While I wouldn't criticize a man for doing that. I don't think that's what Agur was doing. That's not the language that we read right here, so why would he even suggest such a thing? It makes more sense to think of two other possibilities, two other explanations. Since he prays, "Remove them far from me," he could mean, "Take away those vain and deceitful people who surround me. Lord, remove far from me vanity and lies." Again, we don't know what sort of responsibilities Agur has. And I suggested last week that he was some sort of counselor to the king, or he was a stenographer jotting down the words of the king and compiling the book of Proverbs. Do you suppose that since he had access to Solomon, that people would come to him from time to time asking for help in getting appointments, royal appointments? "Hey, Agur, I've got this problem. Would you set up a meeting with the king? Can you tell me some way in which I can spend some time with him?" How many times had he been approached by someone pretending humility, pretending a legitimate problem, and Agur made the introduction only to find out that the man was a fraud and a liar? "Oh, I was taken in by that guy. I was deceived by that guy. Lord, I am gullible. I'm not skilled in recognizing the deceivers. Lord, help me." You and I may not have positions of responsibility like Agur, but we are surrounded by self-seeking liars. Yeah. They're everywhere. How many lies do we hear when we're listening to the news? How can we believe all the things that these politicians promise and say? Vanity and lies. Vain liars can be found in religion. Yeah. We've had this book recommended to us. "Oh, this is a really good Christian book." We have to read everything with our eyes wide open and our hand on the Bible over here and our heart receptive to the Holy Spirit. "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Lord, I am weak. Please protect me." While protection from sinful people is a possible explanation for these words, I think there's an even more appropriate explanation. Agur wasn't praying for salvation. He wasn't praying for forgiveness for his vanity and lying. But he may have been requesting protection from such things in himself. "Deliver me from vanity and lies." Our sin nature can take us as Christians into horribly forbidden places.
That's right. Yeah.
A Christian can become a murderer. We can commit all kinds of sins. But far more often, we commit not the big things, it's the little innocuous sins, like pride, a little bit of deceit, a little bit of dishonesty. For example, we come to the house of God pretending that we have had a great week in fellowship and service for the Lord. And we counsel our friends at church saying, "Oh, you need to do this, you need to do this. Well, the way I do these things, I'm a great servant of God." No, we don't say I'm a great servant of God. We just walk around like I'm a great servant of God, living in deceit. We're asked to lead the congregation in prayer, and we do our best to impress people with our nearness to the Lord and our surrender to the Holy Spirit. We know it's not true, but we don't want anyone else to think these things about us. We hope to deceive our neighbors, but more problematic, we are deceiving ourselves.
Yes.
Agur says, "Deliver me, Lord, from vanity, vainness, pride, and deception." He may have known that to be a problem in his life. He knew that he was weak in fighting against it. Lord, help me. Be a blessing to me. Remove far from me vanity and lies. And then the man asked the Lord for moderation in God's blessings. Notice, first of all, that Eger knew who was the source of the things that he needed. He acknowledged God's sovereignty. Lord, I need to eat. I trust you to put food on my table. Lord, I need breath. I need health. I need direction. All of these things come from you. The one to whom he prayed dispenses wealth and poverty and the very food on his table, even though Mrs. Eger fixed it for him. God, I ask that you give me neither poverty nor riches. I ask that you feed me with food convenient for me. Not in the sense of microwave, in the sense of what is appropriate, what is needed by me. I've been reading a lot of material on prayer recently. It has both been a blessing and a curse as it picks on me, reveals my inadequacies. Several times in a variety of contexts, I have read statements and illustrations about God's great wealth, storehouse of provisions, and that we, as the children of God, should ask for great things, ask for mighty things, ask for miraculous things. The suggestion or the implication is that we shouldn't be afraid to ask God for miracles. Go for it. And I won't take away from that particular idea. That's all right. That friend of yours is dying, and it looks hopeless. There's nothing wrong with beseeching God for a miraculous cure in his case. Lord, instantaneously suck that disease out of his body and shock those doctors and nurses and make them say there is a God in this world. Lord, grant this miraculous cure. It's acceptable with God to ask for a 100% cure. There's nothing wrong with that. If at the same time we are willing to bow to the Lord's will in the matter. But what if the Lord comes along and he says, no, not 100%, 50%. I will grant this person a continued life, but they're going to hurt. They're going to suffer. They're going to have problems. There are going to be expenses. Are we willing to take the less miraculous? Are we willing to take a moderate blessing when we're seeking the miraculous blessing? Or you have a huge debt created through no fault of your own. A terrible accident has cost you problems, a disease perhaps. And you have been praying that the Lord would supply you with $150,000 so that you could be rid of this debt and be free to serve the Lord and don't have to serve your employer in quite the same way. But perhaps it would be better to trust the Lord for small, constant gifts which will keep the wolf at bay and keep you in dependence upon Christ. Maybe the Lord would rather have you beseeching him every day than patting him on the back and thanking him for $200,000. He who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills could make you instantly wealthy, but that may not be the same as spiritually healthy. Perhaps you'd be better off praying for your daily bread than praying for the Powerball jackpot. Give me neither poverty nor riches, the man said. Feed me with food convenient for me. Feed me with the food I need, not necessarily the food that I want. God's manna was the perfect food. It supplied all the nutrition that Israel needed. And it was fine for a while. And then they wanted more. Or was it they wanted less? Either way, they weren't satisfied with the manna. I know people who seem to want nothing but sweets. It's all they eat. Sweets, sweets. That's not what we need. Not what they need. It may be convenient, but not in the convenient that's used in this verse. Others want to eat only rich and heavy foods. And then there are others who want the junk food, nothing but the junk food. Eger wisely asked God for moderation, knowing that whatever he had came from the Lord. Lord, feed me what I need. And then in his prayer, he added some arguments for his requests. And this is one of the areas that I read of several times in my various books. It's all right to argue with God if we're doing it in the right attitude. Remember Abraham arguing for the life of his nephew? It's all right. Eger says, "Please, Lord, neither riches nor poverty. Give me food that is what I need, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Last Sunday, I said that the devil might be more pleased with you being a rich person than being a poor person. The rich man may see himself as self-sufficient. The rich man may think that he doesn't need the Lord anymore. He's made it. He's reached his goal. The Lord Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' He didn't thankfully pray about what to do with this wealth, how to use it for God's glory. And he didn't praise God for his bountiful grace. He said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool,
yes,
this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" When things go well in our lives, we may tend to discount them as the blessings of God. Boy, I made some wise choices in my investments. I'm sure glad I took that job and not that job. Boy, it's good to go to the gym and feel so strong, and I'm taking the right vitamins, and it's all about me. It's all about me. There are temptations which are peculiar to wealthy people. Last Sunday, I referred to a man who said that Satan may prefer that we be rich rather than poor. But that doesn't mean there aren't serious temptations that are specific to poor people. The poor may resort to self-sufficiency just as easily as the wealthy. That poor man may turn to theft. He may resort to cheating rather than patiently trusting the Lord for that daily bread. They may grumble and complain about their poverty. Job's wife, in her sudden poverty, suggested to her husband, "Take the name of God in vain. Curse God and die." When anyone who professes to be a child of God behaves in a manner unworthy of the Lord, they besmirch the name of Christ, the name of God. Eger hated the very thought of such a sin. Lord, help me so that I don't fall into such a temptation. So it was Eger's prayer that the Lord bless him with moderation. Lord, protect me from the sins of both the wealthy and the poor. May I live in dependence upon you for my daily bread rather than a monthly check from my investment broker. What is his prayer? Two things have I required, I ask of you, Lord. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain in the process. Moderation.